Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is December 1st, 2017, and welcome to our podcast, our weekly podcast. I'm joined today by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hi, Craig. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday. Welcome back in the captain's chair there.
Well, thank you.
We missed you last time.
I missed you guys, too. You guys did an awesome job on that last one. That was pretty good.
I think Nicole and I hit a home run on that one.
Yeah, it was very good. And everybody I know had a great Thanksgiving. And we're just glad to be back in the saddle December 1st. We got to start thinking about the holidays and all that craziness.
I know. I think the all the television ads and radio ads would tell you that we're behind the times already, if you haven't already got all your presents booked and all your parties scheduled and everything else.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a fun time.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Anything exciting?
I'm going to watch a little college football, I think.
Oh, nice.
I mean, the number of big games this weekend is pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, the conference championships are coming on this weekend. I think we've got a few that yet determine who's going to be in the playoffs based on the results. You know, if Wisconsin wins, maybe they get into the playoffs. If they lose, Ohio State's got the outside chance of getting back into the Final Four. So,
well, I did a pretty good job with the Miami Notre Dame.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
I did. So I'm going to go Oklahoma.
All right.
I'm going to go Auburn.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go Miami with the upset. I got to keep with my boys.
Well, I think you better stay with the Canes there. You have your U necklace there, pal, or what? Come on. You know, I think I'm going to go Wisconsin.
All right.
Over Ohio State.
I like that.
And I think I'll go with Georgia to upset Auburn and really mess this whole thing up.
Oh, my gosh. You just want drama.
I know.
Well, hey, welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to talk about two different things. One, we're going to talk about the OJ market. A lot of craziness going on there. So
correct.
Craig's going to give us an update there. And then we'll shift on to sugar. So OJ market. What's going on, Craig?
You know, I think you've seen the market jump from around the 140 to 165 fruit pound solids price to date. And this morning we were up again about 3 cents a pound off of yesterday's close. The news I'm hearing is that there's a lot of fruit drop going on down in Florida. So it's excessive. And their worry is the USDA box count of 50 million is probably too high. And the result is by maybe January crop report that we might see that somewhere in the mid 40 million box count, which is not currently being talked about. But I think it's actually starting to be priced in the futures market. The other area is that based on all the greening that's gone on both in Florida and in Brazil, the processors of those juice fruit, meaning the oranges that go for processing rather than for fresh, are coming in at a high acidic level, so low Brix, low sugar. And for those that are looking at an NFC, not from concentrate, that is not actually good. It puts them out of spec. So now what we're hearing is that there is processors in Florida looking to help supplant the low Brix, high acid juice with higher sugar juice coming out of either Mexico or out of California. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at this from a concentrate business and you're looking to buy con, that's going to be a tight market. So I understand right now NFC prices in Florida are somewhere around $3 on a solids basis, which is pretty expensive. It's normally in the mid to lower $2 range.
So
what's going to make California juice actually work to deliver into the state of Florida for the first time in forever.
Okay. Well, so as far as pricing, we've seen elevated pricing. Do you expect that to continue for the foreseeable future?
I do. We may have priced in a component of a lower box count from 50 down, but you know, there's been some outside third parties around the 32 to 34 million box count. That's a little too low in my opinion. But if we get anywhere near 40 million boxes, this market could get up to 180 very quickly. So again, if you're looking at it from buying of futures, next week, and then the report in January would be critical. So I might be suggesting to layer in some business if you haven't already on futures.
Got it. Okay, well, let's shift over to sugar. You know, we'll talk about the commercial market here, but as far as the commercial market, it's been relatively quiet. The beet harvest is pretty much done. You're about 60 to 70% in Louisiana as far as the harvest is concerned. A lot of people are turning towards Mexico and what they're going to do as far as meeting the allocation, if you will, for the U.S. What are you hearing down there, Craig?
I think you're exactly right on the Mexico side. The mills have just kind of really started, and from what we understand, they're not getting great yields out of the fields at this point. But then again, we're a little early days, if you will, on true assessment to the crop size. I think yesterday in our commodity meeting, we were hearing numbers around 6 million metric tons is still the ideal production of sugar down in Mexico. The movement of sugar to the United States has been fairly slow for the first few months. That's not atypical because they're out of crop. So with high prices internally, there's not a whole lot of incentive to move sugar until they've got new production underway. So I suspect that we'll start to see some movement on the exports out of Mexico to the U.S. in large ways come January as they're really in full production. So maybe another month before we start to really see any impact on that.
And as far as the commercial market, very quiet right now.
Yeah.
We're seeing beet offers for 18 in the mid 30s FOB bulk basis.
I would agree with that.
Side a little bit higher, obviously, but just a relatively quiet market.
Yeah, I think that those that hadn't booked any business to this point are probably sitting back just saying, well, maybe I'll get a Hail Mary and something will occur that allows the market to move to the downside a little bit. But as you've suggested, and I would agree, the gap between cane and beet is narrowed quite a bit. There's still a tiered market, but it's not to the degree that it was prior to, say, June or July. I think we had a bit wider gap at that point. But I would agree that the market's pretty quiet for sugar at the moment.
Let's talk about NAFTA, because that was in the news this week. You have the Canadian folks putting their perspective out there, Mexico, the United States, of course. Do you have any additional perspective on where you think this thing might end up, or are we just posturing right now?
Well, I think we're in a posturing mode, Mike, myself. I think a lot of the news that we're reading on both here and in Mexico would try to suggest that each side is trying to play the empathy card, and they're putting this out in the press to gain that momentum. I have no idea what we're going to see at the end of the day, but my suspicion is that privately these guys are still wanting to have some form of trade agreement.
Sure.
They're just trying to, again, get the upper hand on the negotiation, and I don't know who has it at the moment. You know, what do you think? I mean, you read as much as I do on this subject.
Yeah, I mean, I think our listeners here want to know how it might affect sugar. I think that's probably the most important thing that they're...
Not in movement of corn and high fructose down into Mexico, probably.
Exactly. But from a sugar side, we have a program right now that in the U.S. that's very managed. And, you know, it's from the NAFTA perspective, it's not a huge piece, right? So what do they do with that? But I think the corn side,
I think yesterday Mexico is claimed to have imported anywhere between 13 and 15 million metric tons of U.S. corn. And of course, has that become a component of the negotiation? Absolutely. The corn wet milling industry, from the movement of high fructose of a million tons into Mexico, that's a very significant component of their business. So they have to be probably very mindful and have their eye out for that. At this point in time, with the price being so high for sugar, I wouldn't claim that there's any anti-dumping case that we're talking about. It's just simply the trade.
Right.
Do we see that they take out the sweetener component of NAFTA under whatever renegotiation has occurred? It's yet to be determined. My suspicion is Mexico is going to play this up pretty hard. That, hey, look, if we've got a chance to get out from a suspension agreement, let's do it.
Yep, exactly. Well, more to come. I think we're making any predictions, just kind of telling you a little bit what might happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easier to predict college football than NAFTA at this point.
Hey, look, you've got Trump involved. That's the wild card.
Maybe we should ask him about our football picks.
Oh, my God. Help us all.
Well, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening. And until next week.
Well, hey, have a great weekend, everybody.
Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.